Welcome to Engender Love. I'm your host, Dr. Shannon Ponce. Join me as we discuss all things gender so you can better connect with those around you. So let's get started as we engender love. Learning pronouns is hard, and learning new names is hard. And you may already know this, but I'm going to tell you why I think that is, what I think the theories are. And I began to realize what makes it so hard very early on. The first time I ever knew of somebody who transitioned, they were assigned female at birth, and so had been, to me, using she pronouns is what we had used for them, and then told us their truth, amazing, and identified as male and asked to be called he, him, his. Okay. I tell you this because at some point in my learning to use the new and correct pronouns for this person, I realized that in my brain, I constantly was afraid to utter the word she, her, or hers. And it really came to me one time when I was talking about my mom, who identifies as a woman. And I was talking about my mom, and I was just about ready to say she, and my brain stopped me. Oh, don't say she. Okay, wait a second. This is for my mom. She identifies as a woman. It's okay to use she. Okay. And then I said my sentence. So I had that pause, and then I said my sentence. And it was doing this because I was like, wow, I'm just stopping myself now. Anytime she's going to come out of my mouth, just to be sure I'm not saying it at the wrong time. And this is where I began to really think about why this is so hard and what our brains have to go through to learn a new name and pronoun. So here is my theory. When we know somebody and we use their name and we use their pronouns, it is very subconscious. Like, we don't have to consciously think before we speak, do I use she? Do I use he? Do I use they? Do I use something else? We just have an association, a neural pathway in our brain that's like, we see this face, and this is the name that goes with it. We see this person, and this is the pronoun that goes with it. Now, pronouns are even a little bit more so in the sense that our brain tends to have a schema, an idea of like, if I see these things, my brain associates these characteristics, this, as we've learned, gender expression, how the things that we see, the clothing, the hair, the makeup or no makeup, the body or facial hair, no body or facial hair, whatever that is, our brain sees certain characteristics and it subconsciously associates it with he or she. And I'm not including they there because I don't think most of us grew up training our brains for they. That's something that hopefully many of us are doing now for those that we don't know, but that's not the way I would offer most of us grew up. So our brain has this neural pathway. If we know the person, the face is associated with the name, so that when we think of the face, that name pops out of our mouth without consciously having to think, what's that person's name? And if you think about when you meet a person for the first time, that is what it sounds like. Like, what was their name? Was it Rachel or Rebecca? Was it Kristen or Kirsten or Christina? Was it Shannon or Sharon or Shayna? Like, whatever, that's more conscious. But once you create that neural pathway, once you learn it, it's like face, name, boom, boom. I don't have to consciously question myself on it. And then pronouns are similar, face, name, but also for people we don't know, are most of our brains have a schema where it's like, if I see these characteristics, I'm going to apply she or he to them. So knowing that that's subconscious and that's link is, so if you know someone who transitions, then you have to disrupt that neural pathway and you have to bring that name and pronoun into your consciousness. You have to slow down your brain and bring it into your consciousness to carefully use the correct name and not go in that neural pathway, that subconscious neural pathway. You have to disrupt it, bring it to consciousness, and choose the correct name to come out of your mouth, the correct pronoun to come out of your mouth. And that's why it feels so hard. That's why it is work. It is more mental exercise to do this than what you would normally do till you speak. And it's totally worth it. It makes sense that you're having to exercise your brain to disrupt a pattern and create a new one. And the more that you can do that, then eventually you will create that new neural pathway. You will look at the face and say the correct name. You will look at the person and use the correct pronoun. But it takes practice, it takes repetition, it takes doing it over and over again until that neural pathway is created. And what I often find when people learn it, I find names tend to be easier than pronouns. Partially because we may know a few people with the same name, but in general, names are fairly unique. So I think that's one reason it makes it easier. And regarding pronouns, like I said, our brain often uses visual cues and the memory of things, like the memory of that person as well, and it's less unique. So what I find when people are learning that names come first, usually, there's not always and never ever in life, in my opinion. Even in my medical background, we often said there are no always and nevers. So in general, names usually come along first, in general, and then pronouns later. And it often comes first that like you will say the name. You may use the incorrect name or pronoun, and you recognize it after it's come out of your mouth. Then the more you practice, you might notice mid-sentence that it just came out of your mouth or it's about to come out of your mouth and you stop yourself. Then you begin to become aware before you say the sentence at all. So again, it's a lot of mental energy because you're bringing those sentences a little bit more into your consciousness to proofread them before they come out of your mouth. Then you start catching yourself before you speak, and then eventually it just becomes natural, like learning anyone else's name, it just comes out. But that takes time and it takes practice. So one of the things I recommend to do is if you have a picture of a group where this person is in. And I prefer a group than an individual picture of the person whose name and pronouns you are learning. That every day you look at that picture and you go through everyone's name in the picture as quickly as you can. So just like Joe, Sam, Jane, David, whatever, boom, 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 say it again and again. Every day, practice it. Look at the faces of each person and do it. Maybe do it in a different order. Do it forward, do it backwards. Start from the middle, go to the end. Whatever it is, do it. And the reason I say I want a picture with more than one person is because, and pushing your brain to do it a little bit faster each time, is because it's a little bit more challenging when you're giving your brain one thing after the next to recall everyone's name. So what the idea is challenging your brain a little bit, but also putting face to name, creating that neural pathway. Especially consider this if the person you often associate with another person, like Abbott and Costello. Okay, I'm probably dating myself. Let me think of a more current famous combination. Thelma and Louise, probably still dating myself. Anyway, you get the idea. Sometimes people's children, they use all their names together. Sometimes siblings. Sometimes partnership. People use those names together, right? Like Michael and Shannon, like those names. So if this person you often associate or use their name in combination with other people, that's especially one to practice a picture that has that other person that you often put them together with, if that makes sense, I hope. The other tip I have is to have a safe person, a person that you can practice with. And what I want you to do with the safe person that's not going to judge you and not be harmed by your learning is to have that safe person to tell a story to about the person you know who has transitioned. I want you to tell them a story about that person. And the reason is, again, when we tell a story, and everyone's different, but many times we tend to picture the story, picture the person, and we get engrossed in the story itself. in less than the person, and we'll use name and we'll use pronouns and all those things. So it's a great opportunity to tell a story, picture the person while you're telling the story, and have that safe person stop you. If you make a mistake on the name or pronouns, stop you immediately. Say, oh, you said he, it's they. And then repeat what you just said with the correct pronouns and keep going with your story. Anytime you make a mistake, have them stop you. Repeat what you just said with the correct name, with the correct pronouns. Again, what we're trying to do is create that neural pathway. Picture the person and use the correct name. Picture the person and using the correct pronouns and create that neural pathway to help you out. So those are my tips and tricks. So if you are struggling to use someone's names and pronouns, have some compassion for yourself. The person you may be getting the incorrect name and pronouns does not need to have that compassion for you, I would offer, but that's a discussion for another time. But you have compassion for yourself. You are not a bad person. This is challenging. It does take work, and the work is worth it. So I hope you take some of those tips and tricks, try them out, and keep working. And know, yes, it takes effort, it takes work as retraining your brain, but once you do, it will become second nature. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Engender Love. If you have more questions, visit my website at engenderlove.com. You can contact me, sign up for my newsletter, or schedule a time to meet and see how I can support you. Have a great week and continue to engender love.